Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we are going to tackle some listener questions. These are ones that people have sent into us various means, and we're going to just try to answer them here. To some of them we've already kind of answered or talked through with the people through the means, and some of them we're answering them now for the first time. So here we go. David, if you can just introduce the very first one.
So Adrian Rodriguez has interacted with us several times. So thank you very much for that, Adrian. We really appreciate it. And Pete, if I remember right from our pregame, we were going to talk about the fact that I got something wrong. Oh, no, that's what I didn't want to talk about. I didn't even want to mention that I got something wrong. But but the outstanding question from Adrian was, if you remind me.
So Adrian's was, he just came up with a scenario that was actually very similar to what we talked about in our first Stump the Chump episode, where with the runner at first, where there was an obstruction, and then they went back instead of first, and then they went, and he went through a couple of different scenarios about whether on, but this was USA softball instead of NFHS, so asking how that went. And so in that case, he said, if a batter hits the ball and there's obstruction at first, umpire calls obstruction, batter runner turns and looks, goes back to first, stands on first for about 2 seconds, but coach is going, go, 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 because of obstruction. If she runs and gets tagged out a second, do we still honor that obstruction?
Right. And very similarly to NFHS, right? There's certain things that can cancel obstruction. In that case, there wasn't anything that would cancel obstruction because what are they? And Pete did a good job of answering Adrian in this. So safely obtains the base they would have reached with no obstruction and there was no subsequent play on a different runner. That's where I missed it. An act of interference can cancel obstruction. Passing another runner, they're no longer protected between those two bases and may be put out. Missing a base on appeal, they could be put out even though there was obstruction. And then leaving a base before a fly ball was first touched, again, an appeal. So that can cancel obstruction as well. So none of those things happened in this case. It was just, it's one of those, come on, coach. And as a base umpire, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to place her back at first. And then I'm going to say, hey, coach, let's kind of cut out the theatrics. And that was ignorant.
Yeah. And then he tacked on one little piece, though. And he said, same play. Everything's happening the same. But as they're kind of staying on first and doing whatever, the second base person throws the ball to the pitcher. And so and then the runner takes off. What do we do there? Is that so in that same scenario where with the coach going, go, go, go. But the ball's coming back in. The ball's in the air.
I don't believe that's not a subsequent play. I don't believe that's a subsequent play.
Yeah, certainly not on another runner. It's not a play
right.
Anything that would meet that other runner scenario. And assuming that the ball had not been received by the pitcher and in the circle, we're not talking look back in any way.
Right.
Just balls in the air. Heck knows where it's going. It could go into the dugout for all we know.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can take off, right?
Yeah. All right. So that's Adrian. Adrian, thanks for listening. We had a little back and forth. He and I had a back and forth that day, pasting some rules in, and I think he got it.
So the next one is from Joe Harvey, and Joe is another listener that's been really active with us, and so we certainly do appreciate that. Back in June of 2025, there was a scenario that he was talking about, and so this one's going to get a little bit, I don't know, controversial, possibly. So I'll just read exactly what Joe said to us here. He had a situation where there was a call at third base. He is the third base umpire, U3. They have three umpires in this situation, which is fantastic. So good job, Joe. I think Joe's a four-year umpire, and so working three-man, that's awesome. Love it. And so we had this call at third. And the slide came in, and Joe felt as if the tag was made before her foot hit the bag. Coach came out, was polite and calm, and said, Blue, I thought her foot was under the tag, and she got to the base before the tag. Would you mind asking if your partners saw anything different? Joe said, absolutely, and they all three got together. They gave Joe some information that they felt that the runner did slide under the tag, and so Joe changed the call. And the other coach, of course, threw a hissy fit and said, you know, that's your call. How could you let them change your call? And Joe explained to the coach that, well, they gave me information that I didn't have before. And so A for effort, I think, Joe. I think that not being there in the scenario, this is difficult for me, but to make sure that I have 100% of the information correct. But I think in that case, this is an opportunity to have told the first coach, Coach, I can appreciate that. I was standing right here looking at the play. I had all four elements in front of me. You had to, because you called them out. So in order to call an out, you have to see an out. So you saw an out as the third base umpire at third base. while standing right there looking at it. And I would have said, I understand that you feel that way, coach, but I saw everything I needed to see to have an out. And there is no way that my partners would be able to see anything different, but I'll go ask them. And you run in there real quick and you say, dude, I had an out. I had all the elements. The ball beat her, tagged her on the foot before she got to the base. I got an out. He says that he thinks she slid under it, but you guys are further away than me, so we're not changing this, right? And yep, they're going to be like, yeah, we're not changing it. I thought maybe she slid under it too, but you were standing right there. And so I think in that case, Joe, you need to kind of stand your ground with that coach and say, nope, I had all the elements there, and I'm not going to go ask. Because I can tell you, if I was the other coach that you called that against, you know, when you reversed the call and it now went against me, yeah, I'm probably getting ejected. Because I'm gonna throw a fit about that to all of them and say, you can't, that's a judgment call on the umpire was standing right over it. You can't change that call. The only thing that, what information could they have seen that you didn't? And I'll tell you what I think it is. Her right foot was extended and was touching the bag when she was tagged on her left foot. And you were standing close and you saw the tag on the left foot. And I would say, well, yeah, but her right foot was already on the bag. Be like, oh, crap. Yeah, I might have missed that. Okay, well, that's something. That's an element of the play that you were missing. But Jill, you saw her tagged on the foot before she touched the bag. Done. So anyway, that's my two cents. Pete, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. So it was one of those things where I'm offering no criticism of Joe, because I would have done Joe did. So this is, I'm exactly him in this scenario. I do feel like this is one of those situations where younger umpires, which would be me compared to you in this situation, are more likely to go for help, are more likely to accept being wrong in that way, where it's like, oh, doubt themselves, we'll say. And not accept the fact that someone may have new information, but sit there and doubt, oh my gosh, am I not right? Anyone else can bail me out from having made this call. You know, something like some thought process like that. That's my thought. I'm telling you. I'm not saying Joe thought that. I'm saying I think like that sometimes, where I say, oh gosh, I made this call and like everyone, oh my gosh, everyone's mad. And just forget the fact that A, fans half the time don't know what they're saying. B, people say what's convenient at the time. And the convenient thing is to be like, no, that call was terrible. Whether you had that call 100 right, didn't matter. They're still going to say it, you know? Right. So it's like, you were literally the closest person to the play. Maybe the third base coach might have an opinion there. But outside of that, there's no one else that was where you guys were to see that play. Yeah, and you made the call. So it's like, you do need to be a little confident in your ability. Be in position, make the right call. But if you called an out and didn't see an out, like David said, on maybe there's a piece where it's like, I saw a tag on the certain foot or hand, and you're like, no, this other body part beat that in. You were probably really focused on that body part, but you missed body part over here that I saw for sure get under the tag. Whatever that is, maybe that would be good information. But otherwise, like you said, I think how David said, it's probably the way it should go. Now, will I do that? No. I'm not secure enough to do that, but yeah. He's probably right.
Yeah, that's funny, Pete. But I mean, I can be so emphatic about it because it happened to me. I remember the college game that I was at, and I remember the call. I'm in the C. The play was over at second base. I was not on it, right? Because I was clear over in the C, and I had runners, and so there was a play going on at third, a play going on at second, and throw went to second. I saw it. Bang! Called her out. Coach comes out. You know, I blah blah blah. You know, will you go ask your partner? And I'm like, sure. And as soon as I called him out there, I could just see him. He got dejected almost, you know, like the air left him. And I got to him and we got together and he says, oh man, I was hoping you weren't going to come in here. So he did see it different, and we changed it. So I had this exact same scenario, Joe. So if I should have started with that, really, because again, like Pete said, we're not atting anybody here. These are all lessons that we learn, and I learned mine earlier in my career, and it was almost the same scenario. So, but we have another one here, which is awesome. So I remember seeing this on social media too. So Joe asked us, he said, hey, I'd love for you to look up that play that just occurred at Indiana and Louisville, right? Where the second base person ran into the umpire in the B position as she was trying to catch a pop fly, and maybe go over NCAA and NFH rules, if any. And so maybe make it an episode on what happens when the umpire gets in the way. Well, Joe, it's part of an episode because there's not enough in it for a whole episode. So what's the rule book say about it, Pete?
It doesn't really speak to this exact scenario.
No, it sure doesn't. And what does it talk about with interference with umpires? It really only happens if the umpire interferes with the catcher trying to make a throw on a backpicking somebody or somebody stealing a base. If the catcher contacts the umpire, then we have umpire interference. And depending on the rule set, there's some different things that can happen there. And depending on what happens on the field, right? So if the runner was out already, then umpire interference, if the catcher was able to get the runner anyway, then umpire interference is canceled, right? But if not, then if the runner did not get out, then they need to go back. Or I think it's option actually on the defense.
Yeah.
Send the runner back or take the result. Yeah.
And so for there, just a general rule of thumb, again, like some of the other rules of thumb we've come to is like effectively treat the umpire as part of the field.
Yeah.
So you could say it could be bad umpiring if they're in a bad spot where they got themselves in the way. But in reality, you got to be somewhere. And so if you're standing, off to the shoulder, one side or the other from the player, and there's a line drive and they take a drop step and jump at that ball or do whatever, and they bump into you. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's tough. That's just what happens. The same way that you would if there was you kicked the grass at the edge of the dirt and tripped.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the grass in this situation. I'm just in the way.
Yeah, unfortunately though, grass can't get out of the way. Umpires need to. Pete, you hit the nail on the head. I think when you said it could be bad umpiring, I'm going to give you that's 99.9% of the time. If a player runs into an umpire, I'm going to blame the umpire. That's bad umpiring. You're out of position.
Yeah, it's that pop fly, so that you would think that's a slower developing play.
Should be plenty of time
to get out of the way.
Yep, yeah. Should be plenty of time to get out of the way. I remember for some of our listeners that have been listening since very early in our first season, I talked about my first varsity umpiring experience when I was still a class two, and umpire Todd Davis was on the field with me, right? So I was a field umpire, and he was over my right shoulder, and I remember a hard hit shot at the shortstop while we were in the sea, and he's going, move, 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 and grabbed me by the belt and pulled me backwards toward the outfield to get the heck out of the way of the play. I thought she had plenty of room, but I was being quote-unquote lazy, if you will, and it's like, no, get out of the way, like be way out of the way, so you want to make sure that you have that. Pete, we got time for one more. Vernon said something here and said, I know that U1 has the hands and the field umpires have the feet, but in any case, would it be appropriate for U1 to call an illegal pitch on the pitcher being outside of the pitcher's lane? What do you think about that one, Pete?
So, I mean, I think technically any umpire can call the violation. However, U1 is not likely to be in a great place to see that where the plate umpire did not see it. So the question is, why didn't the plate umpire call it? If I have a decently experienced plate umpire who I know is probably watching, I better be darn sure. Because remember that to be a pitcher's lane violation, it has to be the whole foot, right? Outside of the lane. Am I wrong?
The whole foot.
Yeah. So you had to have seen from your position, you had to see the foot come outside the lane and you had to see dirt in between their foot and the chalk. That's tough. So, I mean, I don't know the appropriate, I think is the key word here too, is like, what is that? That's where, I don't know, crewness and some other things come in if we're asking appropriateness versus legality or acuthness or something. But
Pete's using big words. I don't know what the real answer is. Mine's very similar to yours. I think that, of course, by rule or by training even, any umpire should be calling any infraction that they see or can call any infraction that they see. I should say it that way. Can call any infraction that they see. I think crewness wise though, that really comes into play. And if it was something that she's doing every single pitch, and my guess is it's not, it's probably on the outside drop curve ball where she's, turned her body and she's, anyway, pitcher's dead. But it's probably a good time for in between innings to trot in, call your partner out halfway up the line and have a quiet conversation to say, hey, are you seeing that? And are not calling it on purpose? And he might go, oh man, I've been really working hard on my zone, and so I absolutely completely forgot to keep watching for the pitching lane violation. I'll watch it next inning, and then catch it. But do it early if you can, right? Do it early in the game. I probably wouldn't call it as a base umpire, knowing just what you said, Pete. It would have to be like egregious. And I've seen some where they've jumped completely out of the lane. It's like, oh yeah, no, you got to call that. Oh, he didn't call that? Yeah. Time. I got an illegal pitch,
Yeah.
But they'd have to be completely out. But because if it's close, man, you got to be careful, right? And we've said that about illegal pitches in other ways too. It's like an illegal pitch has to be blatantly obvious illegal. It's like, well, looks like it might be illegal. Then that's not illegal, right? It's got to be an illegal pitch. So I guess that's my two cents. So hopefully, Vernon, that's helpful to you. I wouldn't call it, but I would have a conversation with my partner in between half innings, I should say, to remind them that, hey, that's your job.
Okay. So there we go. That is our grouping for this episode.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep. Until next time.